Thank you. Good day, friends. We again take the joy and blessing of coming to you this morning. And I mean this when I talk about blessing and joy, because I really revel in the privilege of talking to you about the Savior and the marvelous revelation He has given to us in the Word of God. And we're dealing now with the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, on this marvelous fifth thing which God wants us to do. We're talking about the walk of the believer in Christ. In chapter 4, we walk in unity, we walk in a new creation. In chapter 5, we walk in love, we walk in light, and now we're to walk in wisdom. In our last lessons, we've been talking about the fact that we manifest our love for the Father, for God, by obedience to His Word. We manifest our love for others by sacrifice. I'm talking about genuine love. And if I am a child of God, a child of one who is light, then I'm to walk in the light. I'm to walk in fellowship with the one who is light. And not only so, but the great plea of the heart of God is that I might walk in wisdom. And here we have four evidences of what it means to walk in wisdom. We are to walk carefully. We are to redeem the time, to take advantage of every opportunity of knowing the will of God, of witnessing for Him, and so on. And we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. And may I again say, you cannot know the will of God without getting into the Word of God. I've had people talk to me about the fact that they get to know the will of God, that God talks to them apart from the Word of God. I'm afraid that a great deal of this is self-will. God has given to us in the Word of God the completeness of His purpose for men, for the Church of Christ, for Israel, for the nations. And if you are a Christian, He's revealed His desire for your life. And your love for Him is to be evident by obedience to His Word. And how can I understand the will of God? How can I know the will of God unless I spend time in the Word of God? And this calls for work. I confess to you, it doesn't come easy. It means that you have to discipline yourself to read the Word of God every day. Now, it pays great dividends, spiritual dividends. If the Christian families of America were to spend the time in the Word of God together each day, there'd be less broken homes and less trouble. I'm not speaking of the world. I'm speaking of those who profess to be Christians. When one sees the problems and the distress and the heartache and the suffering, even among God's people, among themselves, sometimes you see broken churches and broken assemblies, and you find bitterness, etc., among God's people. It's because they do not stay in the Word of God. I cannot overestimate. I know I've said this before, and I'll possibly say it 100 times again, but there's not a man or a woman on the face of the earth that fully knows the power of the Word of God in a believer's life. And how can I know the will of God? How can I be a wise Christian knowing the will of God if I do not spend time in the Word of God? For this is where He has revealed His will and His purpose for our lives. Now then, we come to the fourth evidence. The fourth evidence is verses 18 through 20 of chapter 5. The fourth evidence of being a wise Christian. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now here we have the fourth evidence of a wise Christian. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I say, my friend, this is a command of God. And if we are wise Christians, we will be Spirit-filled Christians. This is imperative. It's just as great a command as we had in the preceding chapter, where Paul says, "Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds." And a spiritual life, very simply, is a continual enjoyment of divine life. This is normal Christianity, to be habitually filled. Keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. He said here, "Do not be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." May I just stop here for a few moments? You'll pardon me doing this, but I would like to make it very, very clear to you. There's so much uncertainty and division among God's people with respect to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've oftentimes wondered if preachers and Bible teachers couldn't get together, or even their own study, to take every verse in the Bible on the Holy Spirit. Take every verse, for example, on the filling of the Spirit. Every verse on the baptism of the Spirit, on the sealing of the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit. And there are not too many of them. Really, there are not too many of them. It wouldn't take you long to do this. And let us get straightened out. And I'm going to take the time today to mention this, that the ministry of the Spirit of God to the believer really is very simple. The moment you and I accept the Savior, as we were saying in this first chapter and in the fourth chapter, where we said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." Just three verses on the sealing, and this speaks of preservation. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, chapter 4, verse 30, and 2 Corinthians 1, 22. It's only the three verses on the question of being sealed. And then there's a question of the baptism of the Spirit. It's an act of God. This is not an experience necessarily. It's an act of God taking believers and joining them together in the body of Christ. It speaks of union with Christ and with each other. To be born of the Spirit speaks of relationship, as you have in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, and chapter 3 of John. It means a relationship. And then you have this question of the indwelling Spirit for the purpose of revealing the character of God. Now, these four things are true of all believers. But the sad thing is that all believers are not Spirit-filled. If I were to give you a definition of a Spirit-filled life, it's a life lived in fellowship with God. Now, that's a very simple statement. And you say, "Mr. Mitchell, it means more than that." No, my friend, it doesn't mean more than that. You're going to tell me, "Well, if I was Spirit-filled, I'd have certain experiences." That's not true. I may have experiences that you don't have. And you may have experiences that I don't have. When a person is filled with the Spirit of God, they're walking in fellowship with God and His will. And only when you're walking in fellowship with God and His will are you Spirit-filled. Don't tell me that when you're Spirit-filled you're going to do this and do that and do the other thing. I'll challenge you on that. I'll make you bring the Word of God and prove to me what you say is true. You see, I took the time to take up every verse in the Bible on being Spirit-filled. And when I got through, I was simply amazed. Do you know, except for this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, rule out this verse in Ephesians 5, and there's only one man in the whole New Testament who talks about being Spirit-filled, and that's Luke. In the Gospel through Luke, he talks about being Spirit-filled. 10 times in the book of Acts, he talks about people who were Spirit-filled. And if you read them through, you'll find that there's a connection with them. I've had people tell me, I've even had preachers tell me, that if I were Spirit-filled, I would have a certain experience. If I were baptized with the Spirit, I'd have a certain experience. If I were sealed by the Spirit, I'd have a certain experience. If I were born of the Spirit, I'd have a certain experience, so forth and so on. You don't find that in the Scriptures. God does four wonderful things the moment you accept the Savior. Every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit, otherwise he wouldn't be a Christian. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. John 7, Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. The indwelling Spirit became the experience, the portion of every Christian after Pentecost. Now, the filling of the Spirit of God, may I put it this way? The filling of the Spirit of God is the right of every Christian. Even babes in Christ can be Spirit-filled, just like men and women in Christ can be Spirit-filled. The very babe in Christ, the one who has just been saved, can experience being filled with the Spirit. In fact, sometimes I wonder if some of these newborn babes in Christ know more about being Spirit-filled than some of these folks who've been on the road for 50 and 60 years. And it's been years since they walked in fellowship with God. And their minds have become dull of hearing, as Paul could say to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to stop here for the day. I would like this to be, I want you to think about it. I'm going to take it up again in our next lessons. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? And why does Paul bring it in here? The only time Paul ever mentioned it in his epistles. There's a reason for it. And may the Lord grant to you today the joy of walking in fellowship with Christ. The highest experience of any believer is to walk in fellowship with Christ in his will. And if that believer is not Spirit-filled as he walks in fellowship with Christ, will you please tell me, when will he be filled? The impossibility of being filled with the Spirit of God with a heart that is out of fellowship with Christ. Now you think about this, and you read these verses through, and then I would like to suggest you read Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Now you take that up too in connection with Ephesians 5, 18. And may the Lord make the word very precious to your heart today. Read it and reread it and reread it. And get your mind filled with the text. And the Lord will bless it to your heart. And I'm sure he will, for his name's sake.